I've got to read. It's 6 o'clock and we're going to get started. And welcome everybody. I see a lot of familiar faces. That's great. Tonight we're going to, we've got a full agenda, so I want to introduce Maggie Price.
Hi.
Our co-chair, and I'm Cindy Johnstone, and I'm the other co-chair. We asked our guests tonight to attend this meeting to discuss the process that's being used for determining if the three-day music festival should occur in Overland Park Golf Course. And so this is not so much, you guys are all really well-versed in it. I really believe that. We had it on our website. I know some people have gone to the meetings. I know people have read notes and everything. Okay. And so tonight is not to go over all of that. It's to give a brief introduction and then spend the rest of the 40 minutes, because we only have 40 minutes, on questions and discussion. And I think that's really important. So I would ask, this is the thing, is that for the next... here's what I want you to know. I know, and Maggie knows, that there are a lot of emotions that go along with this. Some high, some for, some against. And I would ask the people to not talk over each other when we ask questions, and so everybody has important things to say, and I want to hear them all. And so does our secretary.
Yeah, I said them loudly because I called them. My ears are very bad tonight. Use your outdoor voice.
Right.
Thank you very much.
And we're keeping the door shut because we need to be respectful of each other, but also of our residents that live here. And I want to give a special shout out to Brookdale Senior Living residents. They have provided this room for our meetings for many years, and they have never required any compensation for it. And so we really appreciate that. We want to be able to stay here for many more years, and so I would appreciate that. And if you have to leave, because some people have to go, and some people have another meeting because it's South High School, there's a meeting about the game plan, but there's another one tomorrow at North High School, and that's at Spear. And the next one is the following day, Thursday, at Montbello. So I know it was for a lot of people, it was a tug of where shall I go. If you do have to leave, I'm going to ask you, if you carry any discussion, please carry it outside. I've been in here, and when you talk in the hallway, it's really loud. And again, we need to respect our residents. This is their home. And so we have to just respect that. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce four people here today, and I'm just going to let it go. I'd like to introduce Jolyn Clark, our councilman from District 7, and who's in that district.
David Ehrlich,
I'm sorry, who's the event organizer. Fred Weiss, who's the financial director for Denver Parks and Rec. And Katie...
Stracina.
I had it written down, and then I just needed to look. The director for special events, and Grace Ramirez, who is the community outreach for special events. Okay. We're going to start with David. He's going to take 5 minutes to go over a brief interview.
I think I'm going
to. Or can you go first? Because
yeah.
I do have a specific question for you.
Oh,
okay.
Go ahead. And I apologize in advance that I can't stay for the whole meeting, but as I'm sure no one in this room will argue with, I have two RNOs that are meeting tonight, and I want to make sure to get there and answer questions and provide updates to my neighborhood associations on all the things going on in lucky District 7. So thanks for the opportunity to come and chat with you, and I'm happy to answer any questions. If we run out of time for me today because the other meetings I have to be at, please reach out to me, call me, email me, however I can help as the council person. You also have a lot of people who've been working on this from the city side who I would probably defer to on a lot of questions here. Anyway, I think they're here for the duration. So a couple things that, and I'll be the first to say that I'm not perfect. I'm learning as I go. I was not trained in the art of being an elected official. My background is I'm a natural resource major from CSU, worked for 17 years in the nonprofit sector, taking kids on field trips to parks along the South Platte River. My master's is in nonprofit management, which, you know, is not this. And so, I think that if you ask 10 people what the right way to go through this process is, you probably get 10 answers. And I tried to do my best, and I know that that doesn't make everybody happy. And the truth of the matter is we don't have an established framework for this kind of decision. This kind of decision per our charter is a use of the golf course can be approved by the manager of Parks and Recreation. If that contract that the golf course were to enter in with someone to use that golf course exceeds the $500,000 limit, then it comes to City Council for a vote. But that's really the direction that we have in the charter on something like this. There isn't like a rezoning where you have a set, you know, something that people are used to go through. And so we had to kind of look at how does something like this get looked at, and how do we engage with the community to see what the community's thoughts and concerns are. And so I know it wasn't perfect, and probably everybody in here would have a different plan for what that looked like, but I tried to do my best with that. And I do very much value our RNO structure. And so I started with the board of the RNO and talked to them, and then we took it to a bigger meeting where the Overland neighbors got to ask questions directly of the event organizer to get their questions out there first, since it is statistically in their neighborhood. We then had a bigger meeting where they invited the adjacent RNOs. There was another meeting at the Overland Neighborhood Association with an open mic where people could share opinions and ask more questions. There was simultaneous to that a process with the golf community where the clubhouse met with the men's, and I'm not a golfer, so I don't know if I'm saying the things right, but men's club and the women's club, and had a meeting at the Overland Clubhouse for the golfers. And then there was a broad community meeting where everybody was invited to come and learn more, ask questions, and voice opinions. In addition to that, you know, my office, the Office of Special Events, has been gathering emails and phone calls, and there is currently a survey that's been up, and I think is up till Thursday, where people can go and provide their thoughts and opinions. So a lot of ways to try and gather and evaluate what do people think and what are people's concerns up to this point. And then obviously you guys are part of that process as well for all of the communities that you are here representing. Briefly, I'm going to touch on the decision-making process. And I will say what I've said before is that, again, it'd be nice if there was charter guidance that said, hey, when somebody comes and says, hey, can we do this in a golf course, then here are the five steps to follow, and it gets to that. And there isn't. And, often when there are things that people feel passionately, and I have constituents in this room tonight who are for this, and I have constituents who are against this. And that is not not an easy place to be, but I guess it's what I signed up for. But it's what we all signed up for with representative government, is that we have certain things that we vote on, we have certain things that have established protocol, and then we have certain things that come up that we don't. And we have to muddle through that the best that we can. And so part of that decision-making process is looking at, okay, who is supportive of this and why? Who is against this and why? What are the concerns? Can we put those concerns in a parking box, in a traffic box, in a golf course wear and tear box? And then can those concerns that can be put in a box? Some people are just against this and some people are just for it, and then it doesn't provide a lot of, I'm for it because, I'm against it because, and we want to honor that. But also then take the ones who are, hey, I've made up my mind, my concern is this, and can those concerns be mitigated or not? And I also say that there is a divide between they can be mitigated and they will be mitigated. And so that brings us to, again, back to what are the steps that are defined. And those steps are, that the Parks Department would have to negotiate a contract if they decided to move forward with that contract. And that's, right now, hasn't been decided yet. That's what the survey is out for. And all of the listening that's been happening and recorded at these meetings will go into making that decision. They would then need to negotiate that contract with the event promoter. And then that contract would have to be reviewed both by Parks, by mayor's staff, but then because of the amount of the contract, it would come in front of City Council for review as well. And so what I've said since the beginning is, again, I think that, you know, there are lots of points in here that if they say we could mitigate this problem, but we can't come to terms in a contract to ensure that it'll be mitigated, then the answer becomes easier than if we continue to move forward and some of those things can be mitigated. So there are checkpoints along the way, and those are kind of the steps in this decision-making progress. I think we'll have more information after the survey closes of people formally providing their own thoughts through that survey tool that will inform then the decision of, is a contract pursued? And then if a contract is pursued, does that contract live up to mitigating for the concerns that were raised outside of the just yes and just no? And does that warrant that contract going on to City Council for review and approval? You know, one of the things when I ran for office, I told people, as I said, look, you, when I would talk to people one-on-one, I said, you and I are not going to agree on 100% of things. My wife and I have decided to spend our entire life together, raise kids together, live in the same house on the same block, and talk to each other every day. And she and I don't agree on everything, but what I am committed to is making sure that everybody has a seat at the table and that there is a process for listening. And then from there, it's a messy process of what happens when people feel very passionately on this side and this side, and how do we move forward? And that's the messy process that we're embarking on. So I hope everybody will, you know, if you're passionate about this, or if you're not, go share your thoughts in that survey. What are those boxes? Because there's been a lot of great feedback, things that I didn't think about that I've had neighbors reach out and say, hey, this, you know, what about this issue? And we can't take, the city can't take those issues to the event planner and say, how are we going to mitigate that if people aren't raising those concerns? And so that's a really important part of the process. So that was, you know, the little bit that I just wanted to share. To kick things off, I also think Dave's going to talk about some of the logistics of the festival, where we are now, some of the input that's come in. There's been a website where questions have been captured and put on that website so that people can see what are other people asking and what are some of the ways that that's being contemplated to be mitigated. And then part of the survey asks, so does that address your concern or not as we continue to work through this? So again, I apologize, I can't stick around for the whole night. I think
Joan, before you leave, yep. Since you represent council, how are the council people going to be educated, brought up to speed, because they have, is it just you who's going to vote on it, or is it all city council? And if it's all city council, are they being kept up to speed on this, and how, or will they be brought up, and where will the community in an effective way be able to contact all of them also?
Yeah.
I'm concerned about taking it to the council, but in fact, what will they know about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we review 20 to 50 contracts every Monday night, and so there is a process once the contract comes in that it would come to committee, that it would come through the council process, and so those are defined places where it will come. The website, all the council people are being pointed to, here are the questions that are being raised, and here are the things. The survey data will be available to them, and certainly people have already started reaching out to council people to share their opinions with them, and so I think it will be a continual thing, but as with anything, it is, the contract would be voted on by all 13 members.
Since this is a new process, and because I don't know if David's going to be there to present it to the city council, but is there a portion where one person or two people would be able to, at the same time, be allowed to present at the council, committee council?
So
the committee, I'm not talking
that
about
is the kind of feedback that I would love to hear
because
right now there is no contract, and so it hasn't started that city council process, but that's a great idea. And so those kind of ideas about the festival, but what should that look like are certainly things that I want to hear. So
okay, so we can talk about that as a group, about process and what we'd like to have.
That's a very nice, abstract, perfectly theoretical thing with no stakes in the ground about when and how. But I'd like to focus down on one tiny thing. What if somebody went door to door and produced a statistically significant sample that 70% of the nearby neighbors within 2 miles were totally against it? Big number. How would that translate into this process, or would it get buried in some larger, greater concern? If really most, let's find a number, 65, 75, door-to-door canvassing, the neighbor said, we don't want it, One, where do you stand? And two, how does the city justify slamming a neighborhood who doesn't want it?
I'm going to interrupt right now because seriously, we are talking about process and I'm
but it's
getting,
vague.
Okay, but can
you're
you...
You're not going to force them to answer that question. The 75% of the neighbors are against it.
Okay, this is what we're talking about.
It's part of the process.
It's part of the process, and so you could certainly put that in with it, but I would not want to get bogged down in this piece right now.
It's a pretty simple question.
I have a question.
Wait a minute. We're not going to answer this question. So that's a pretty simple question.
You asked him specifically how he's going to go on it, and he does not have to answer that. And that is that is not process oriented. We are talking about your point.
Answer it abstractly. How does the city, if 75% of the near
time
neighbors,
out, time out. I'm running this thing, and the whole purpose of this is to keep it simple, lower your low voices, and we want to look at process. We just learned of something that we could do, and they don't have the process, and so let's write that down, and we will present it to them about that. Okay? I'm sorry.
I have a question. It sounds like from the way you're talking about this that you're looking for a way to get to yes. Is that your position on it?
No. If there are checkpoints along the way, I did not start from a position of no. I also did not start from a position of yes. But I know that there are some people who are just against this from the beginning, and they are frustrated with me from not starting from a place of no. And I can't do anything about that. But if the concern is raised that this will destroy the golf course, then I've looked to Scott Rethlake and Colin, who are the guys who manage that golf course. It's their job to make sure that that happens, and golf is an enterprise that can't get from the tax. I do lean heavily on them to answer that question, to say, hey, if they come to me through this process, especially in the contract process, because again, there's a big gap between, yeah, it can, and now it will in a contract. If they come back and say, you know, this will destroy the golf course, then there are steps along the way where I would absolutely say no. But I am committed to a process, and I'm committed. Again, I have constituents in this room who feel very passionately on both sides, and I want to listen to both of them, and I want to make this decision based on the information that we can gather, and can these be mitigated, and then who are the people who are against it, even if it can't be mitigated, and who are the people who are for it, even, you know, that's a lot of information to come into.
I just have a quick question.
Then he needs to leave.
Yeah, I know you need to go, but just this is very much on these lines because at earlier points in the discussion, you yourself said that the mayor had committed to the fact that if the neighborhood didn't support it, he would not go with it. Or as it states here on this document, the mayor is on board as long as neighborhood approves. So I guess. So is there a way to measure, I think that's maybe what you're trying to say, is there a way to measure, which we haven't had thus far, how the neighborhood feels?
Right, and I think I'll go back to, we have a survey that's going to close in a couple days.
Okay.
I'm hoping that we will have more
survey,
information.
Is it the neighborhood, or is it the Denver,
it's
broader
Denver?
It is, and we're going to talk about it later. First of all, there is no process right now. I think that's what I heard.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't mind, just to talk
I'm
to,
just
to
saying,
both of you
there
just
is no
briefly.
Process.
Okay.
It is a hard question. I have constituents who live in Ruby Hill up the road who are really mad because they feel like the people in Overland, their vote is counting and theirs isn't, right? And so we could have a debate about what is the community? But I do think, again, you would get lots of different answers. There are people very passionately against this and for this as far away as Wash Park and beyond. And so if we draw that circle of what the community is, what do we draw? And so I believe in the survey results are asking, where do you live in that? And so we will have the broad data of the survey, and we will also have the nearby neighborhood. I don't know that we'll have it like the four block or the eight blocks that are right there versus Overland, but we will have both. It is being measured in both ways.
Okay.
So just there's not an easy, it's been decided that 16 points go here and 14 go there,
right.
But that is something that is going to be part of the data and the decision.
Okay, thank you.
So, how can you evaluate the good or bad will of the neighbors and anybody else? The goodwill for having it, the bad will for not. How do you evaluate that the goodwill toward the city, bad will toward the city. I think that's something you need to consider somewhere in your process. But that isn't something you can just ignore. It is an ongoing thing that underlies many other things the city does. And it's important that you consider that, at least when you're processing, and think about the ramifications in the future.
May I address that point?
No, right now, he has to leave.
Cindy, what it refers to, that very thing, is our neighborhood, Overland Park, is at the heart of our four, the president, vice president, who's sitting there, treasurer and secretary, put out a very nice statement that Overland Park, as a neighborhood, was not going to take a position on this.
I heard that.
And if you'd like to read that, I thought it was very well reasoned, very well stated, and I would hope that our neighborhood can come together on the basis of neither side being favored.
I just want to say one more time, I really appreciate all of you getting involved in this process. And it's not easy when you have people passionate on both sides. And some people would say, well, then we shouldn't have even had the discussion. But I do believe that discussing these things, as hard as they are, do get us to a better place, whether it's a no or a yes.
So are you?
And I appreciate you taking time to.
Are you going to lead the city in writing this process down and bringing it to the community to look at it?
I was going to say, I think first we should ask people if they like my process, because I think there are some people who don't think it's a good idea before I write down this process. But I do think
it's an important process. Then going through this thing is worth, then it's not creating anything, and it's not anything subjective. It's sort of fly by night.
I think predictability is always.
So,
you know, when
I'm
people get cut off after 3 minutes, when they get 3 minutes to speak, at least they know they had 3 minutes.
I'm asking you to do that.
Okay.
I was just going to add.
And will you send me the thoughts too on council process stuff that you guys come up with or that you are using? I'm sorry, I got to get to my R&O meeting.
Just a quick supplement. I'm happy to talk a little bit. But I think the key to a process is factual information. And every step of the way so far, we've documented all the questions, all the answers, all the information. And I think I agree with you, but to get to a process, the first step is documentation of information. And that's happened every step of the way, and that's been shared with the public already. So I think to answer your question from our perspective, the process has already begun in a sense in terms of the information documentation. So if someone said, hey, what happened at that first meeting where there are unanswered questions, they can look in writing, see the questions, see our answers. And we've agreed to be held to that standard. We're not going to leave questions unanswered. Everyone may not like the answers. Some will like, some won't. But I think I would say the process has already started in terms of you cannot have a process without information. And we are writing down, we are tracking every bit of information from every meeting, which is just a start. But I think.
So do you have a link then? Where is this documented?
I'm sorry, I got to run. Again, anybody reach out anytime if you want to talk more about it with me specifically. Thanks, everybody.
So just to answer that, took all the questions that we got from the different public meetings, and we put together a frequently asked questions document, which is on our website, which I handed out earlier. But it's at denvergov.org/special-events. And then on that homepage, there's a little box on the right that says possible music festival or music festival opportunity or something like that. And if you open that page, the survey is there, the frequently asked questions, the commitment guideline document, of which you all have a version of here. Also, resources in Spanish. We have translated everything into both languages. And some other resources there. And that's denvergov.org/special-events.
And that gets to your question. You'll see on that document, you'll see on that website, several questions the city asked us, would we commit to that legally? So for example, would we put up an insurance, would we fund insurance and put up a bond to replace and repair any damage to the golf course? That was a question asked in the meetings. It then led to the city going, will you legally agree to that? We said yes. And they put it into their guideline statement. The guideline statement is things we will agree to legally in a contract. And so there's sort of a step-by-step component to that.
Dave, I think what we're looking for.
I'm going to segue into your presentation too, David. I don't know.
I can just do the 5 minutes.
It's up to, does any,
But he
not know it?
Because we've had, how many of you guys have been to the public meetings? So we want to make sure that everyone in this room has access to the information, and that's why we wanted David here, so that you all could hear.
We are now down to, just to let you know, to
Nancy, could you pass a sign-up sheet?
20 minutes.
I'll be very quick.
Bill, did you sign up?
At basic facts, I think you raised a great point in terms of, when you talk about process and information and making these decisions is really important, but it's not black or white. It's not always and or. There is a lot of gray that has to be fleshed out in the information. And what I would ask you to do is take guidance from our reactions to what has already come up in the community meetings. So this is the very first map we ever drew, but it was in response to issues that came up from the community. It's certainly not the last map that we'll draw, and that's part of the process. The process is iterative in that you come up with questions, you come up with concerns, and we address them, and then you decide if we've addressed them effectively. So this is really just the first shot at that. And so again, really quickly, some of the questions that came up in the first meeting were, we do not want trash, we do not want security issues, we do not want people driving and walking through our neighborhoods. So we took that back, we put it into the document, we said, okay, fine, here is the first map, just the first map, but the box office, the Uber lot, the bike valet, because this is a non-driving festival, are as far away as possible from the neighborhood. Secondly, and again, these are not the end of the discussions, this is just our first shot at it. Secondly, this fencing, literally, you cannot get out, you can't be in the festival and from this area get into the neighborhood. So you can't get through this fencing to the neighborhood. And if you want to leave the festival or enter the festival, you'll have to do it as far away as possible from the neighborhood. But that's not enough. The issue came up about, well, we don't want people driving through our neighborhood looking for parking spots. We don't want people parking on our lawn or illegally parking. We agree with that. Our response to that was, we will have security staff and Denver police at every single vehicular entrance to your neighborhood. So, and we'll also figure out, we have not figured out the details yet, but we'll have arguably a hang tag system so that every resident can go in and out easily. But if you don't have that hang tag, meaning you're not a resident, you cannot come down Saturday and park in this neighborhood because the police will not let you in. That led to another question, which said, well, wait a minute, RTD is over here. How are you going to stop people from walking through the neighborhood? We agree. We haven't figured that out yet, but we're going to have a pathway, a gated pathway, so that people cannot walk through the neighborhood. And so I'll wrap up. My only point is that this process, literally, in my opinion, has started. It's been very stringent. So I've been in the public sector for 10 years. I worked at Kroenke Sports before that. We did a lot of public activities. This is the most stringent process I've ever been involved with, and we welcome that. But again, what you'll see from this map and future maps is, again, quick concept. The main stage is oriented away from the neighborhood because of the sound issues. Now, so if the issue is that the main stage will blast music into my living room, that's not true. But if the issue is there'll be music till 10 p.m., that's true. I think what we want to do in this process is define what the real issues are and what the fears are that we can dispel. One other quick one. It's been said several times at several meetings that we're going to turn the golf course into a sinkhole. We're not going to do that. And I think that we have evidence from Golden Gate Park in San Francisco where the organizers have, in writing, we have people saying from the Parks Department and the golf group in San Francisco, they basically left the area in better shape than before. Now, that's not a guarantee, but it's evidence for you to weigh as you decide the issue, will they ruin the golf course? And so I think all these, again, are said orally, they're said in a public meeting, and then they're written down so we can track them ultimately in a contract that if we violate, so again, let's say the golf course is harmed, and let's say that the insurance we come up with is enough to fix it, but not in enough time that we agree to contractually. We violate the contract, you can terminate the contract, the festival's over. So again, I think, when we talk about process, we want to make sure that we're held to that standard, but we want to make sure that there's something that we can see, touch, and feel, and we can live up to. So again, I don't want to take too much time. I know we only have probably 15 minutes left, but this map, hopefully, again, this map is not intended to solve all the issues or make everyone happy or get you 100% comfortable. It's not, because it's the first one, but it really is a genuine attempt on that road. This is not the end of this exercise. It's sort of, in a sense, only the beginning.
Katie, did you want to speak at all to the process?
I think Joel has captured it in a fantastic way, and we've, and I think David also. I think one of the things that stands out about this, they came to the city of Denver and proposed this, and the process that has been, that the requirements that we have put on the event, David said it himself, he's never been subjected to this kind of process before.
I used to be 6'8".
So to that point, and to the mayor's request, that this is something that if the neighborhood, if the people support this, then he will support it. He loves the idea of it, but he said, and it set a precedent that he does not want it to happen if the people do not want it to happen. And so from that point forward, everything we have done has been geared towards, at that point, how do we get the feedback from the community? So holding them to the standards and having the contract reflect the agreement between the neighborhood and the event organizer, these are things that we've never done before. So I'm very proud of the city in that sense, is that we've gone to these measures when prior to our office and events coming in, they just happened to the city. There was not this consultation, there was not this, there wasn't a tool or a mechanism to go out there. So to that extent, I'm very pleased with how this is going. It's not easy in any way, shape, or form, but just that the mayor set forth that this is what needed to be done, and we're doing everything we can from Councilman Clark to the parks to the event organizer.
Thank you.
To doing that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I think that your question is, you can ask it because it is part of the process. Is it going to be how the numbers? I think that's what you're asking. Is it the numbers around the?
It's a scope question. In other words, in their neighborhood, they went door to door and found 90% of the people don't want it. I think if you went up to Ruby Hill and did a statistically significant sample, or literally everybody, you'd find a huge number of neighbors don't want it. Okay.
Sorry, can I ask one question? I think it's a great point.
Can I just
ask you one question? I think my only question to you would be, how do we, when you do, so this, you could say the same thing about the survey. When you take a survey or you take a petition, do we get into how they're framed? And is it possible that you could go, you know, and again, all due respect, you could do it two ways, right? You could go and say, here's a petition, this is going to drive a ton of money to Denver and it's not going to bother you at all. Other people sign it. Or you could.
Absolutely. If you frame it, everybody under 30, 90% for it. If you open up to everybody says, the city gets $2 million and we get some cool little thing. We got a festival tool. We're a little late to the game. 70% would be for it. If you go to the neighbors, the true neighbors, it'd be 70% against.
Because
in Outlands, okay, they say, oh yeah, it's a better, they got transit up the wazoo. The neighborhood gets parked right in. It's fundraisers for the churches to open up their parking lots. So there's, it's like, what modeling? You're dropping an event half the size of a Broncos game in a place with a couple of roads.
And Phil, I'm going to ask you, so what specifically you would like to see the process be a vote?
No, what I'm trying to say is...
I just want to make sure we're back to...
No, I'm trying to pin you down because that's also
vague. No, don't pin anybody. I want to know about process. What is it that you see is missing that's not in the process?
A sense of scope. Okay,
because
like I said, if you open it up, like they'll keep turning documents and okay, we're addressing it.
Phil, thank you.
No, wait a minute. This is a political question, and the politician left the room. If the neighborhood doesn't want it, the mayor's got to come out and say, well, I'm going to slam them anyway for $2 million, some perks. Okay, the mayor is going to do that.
Thank you. Okay, yes, George.
The only person in this room that's not represented that doesn't have a voice is the golf course. I'm going to ask you, Fred, how many rounds a year does Overland have?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. They have less than 40,000 rounds a year. Now, if you take 40,000 rounds a year, and there's probably 2 months that they don't play golf there, you're talking roughly 2,400 people on that golf course in a week. Now you're talking about 300,000 people in a 3 day, because 100,000, you're talking about 300,000 people on that golf course. Every Friday or every Monday, golf courses are closed down because they, not maintenance, but the golf course needs time to heal. You talked about 4 to 6 weeks, that is about You should put a one before the four and the six, because to take 300,000 people, that golf course is going to take 3 months to go up. You have your say. You listen. I've been in golf courses for a long time, it'll take roughly 2 to 3 months for that golf course to heal from 300,000 people.
Okay. What,
there is no. I mean, this is a no mistake.
Here's my question. So, is that some information you feel? Again, we can't debate this, guys. They've had how many open meetings, and those are the times to do this.
Two.
This is
The only trouble is the people that run their work for golf course work for the city.
They were there.
Cindy, the thing I don't get.
What I'm trying to say is INC Parks and Rec, please let me go over this again. We are not here to, we need to know, is this a transparent process? Is it a complete process? We already heard that it's something new that we haven't done before, it's not written down. How will they objectively or subjectively make a decision? Those are the things that we need to be asking them.
Cindy,
I know that you mean well, but it really sounds to me, I'm just going to be honest with you,
as
we're doing here is looking for a way to help them get to yes.
I didn't offer an opinion
about it one way or the other. I'm telling you
I hear you.
Sounds like, well, we're just looking for...
I think this is a great point, and I can get it to process.
I know how to answer.
Why don't we let Cindy answer?
I'm just saying, there was discussion in that, in this part. There's been also on the website that they went out and they talked to about how the golf course was in better condition afterwards, that there's also protective layers that they have been putting down on that, and that if you look at it that way, there's not going to be 300,000 people in one moment.
No.
There's not going to be 300,000 people.
They will for a weekend.
And if you look at some of the major golf tournaments, they have the same thing. So you got to start talking about that, but go ahead.
I'd like
to say one thing real quickly to that, though, and you're absolutely right, and those kind of things have been brought up, and unfortunately, because the meetings have been very controlled, it hasn't been an opportunity for people to actually present research that they've done, which would tell you that, first of all, the major golf courses and events, the PGAs, they're not going to be all over the golf course. They're going to be in very restricted parts of that.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of damage and things like that, we haven't had a real golf expert who doesn't work for the city come in, things like that.
Right.
So we're trying to work on that.
And that to me is process.
Absolutely.
Not what's happening. So what you're saying is you don't feel that there's independent looking at some of the issues.
Absolutely.
So
that's an important piece.
I agree with you. I think you already outlined processes, identify a problem, and then stress test the proposed solutions and the proposed comparables. So I think, you know, first of all, it's at most 200,000 people, but the fact is that Ellie makes a good point. A golf tournament may not be the best comparable. Our response to that is, okay, we should get you information on UCLA home football games where 25,000 people, college students, tailgate on a golf course down in Pasadena. What effect does that have? So I think it's a valid point, and I think, you know, our response in the process would be, we had a factual statement. We have it backed up by experts. It's been challenged, I think, validly in terms of is it relevant. So we now have the obligation to find you another example that we think is more relevant. Now, if we show you that the golf course in Pasadena has 25,000 college kids almost every weekend on it and is fine the following week, then all I would say in a fair process is you have to take that information into account and then adjust whether or not you think it will harm the course. So I think we're already in the process.
I mean, but that's very important, and that's what I hear you saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that we need to be putting into that, Katie, because this is a process, and I certainly hope you're going to be writing these down as a process, because I don't think the community wants to go through this again like this. Yes.
Okay, I think this really is a process question. It's kind of for Katie. But Katie, Cindy alluded to it. This, I think, is really sort of a first of its kind. And prior to your tenure of the city, we went through some of these same discussions when a music festival was proposed for City Park. And, you know, there definitely were questions that were being raised about the legality of an exclusive sort of lease like that under the city charter. And so my process question is, having looked at the materials, read through all the newspaper articles, I've not seen that issue discussed. So process-wise, has the city gotten a legal opinion from the city attorney's office that this is legal under the charter? And if so, can that legal opinion be released? And if they haven't gotten that legal opinion, will they?
So I'm going to turn to Fred, who engineers hundreds of contracts with the city, to speak to specifically on the legal input.
I'll come in. This entire process has included the city attorney's office. So they have vetted it. They have given us advice as to how to proceed, what to include, how to include it. They will not issue a written legal opinion to give you, but they have been senior levels of the city attorney's office have been involved in the conversation and are saying, okay.
Well, Fred, and I'll pipe up now. If we're talking about transparency, why is that information not being shown? Why are people not able to see the opinion of the city attorney, the legal ramifications, all of that? That should be part of the transparency and part of the public knowledge,
well,
in my opinion.
Well, I might be able to get them to send me notes. I mean, the city attorney, when you say a legal opinion, that's a very specific thing. And they don't issue those very often. I might be able to get an email from them saying, yes, we're okay to move forward. But the bottom line is we wouldn't be able to do this if they wouldn't approve it, because they're the ones who write the contract. So it's almost by default that they're okay with it, because if it's not, they wouldn't write the agreement. They would say, we couldn't do this. So, you know, I mean, I'm happy to see if I can try and get an email, but the bottom line is it would be impossible to happen if the city attorney's office said we couldn't.
And I don't want to belabor the point, but from a process perspective, we as citizens then are left without understanding the legal analysis that the city has said that addresses some of the charter provisions that have been raised as impediments to these sorts of exclusive leases to private enterprise. And then what, unfortunately, the city sort of ends up saying is, there has to be a lawsuit to be able to pull that legal analysis out of the city. So, from a process perspective, I think this is a big enough question that the city attorney's office should give a legal opinion as to why they think this is legal under the charter with their analysis and allow the light of day on it rather than have to litigate it.
So I can't answer for the city attorney's office. I can just tell you my impression.
Again, I don't want to beat the dead horse anymore,
but that's
a question out there.
I don't know how to frame this question as a process question, but I will say that we have had events happen where we were told that people were listening, that we would meet with the promoter or whatever, and I didn't see any of that information captured. I mean, I'll go check your website. And the things that we were told did not transpire. So I don't know, from a process perspective, Cindy, how we guarantee this. We all met with the Chive people, and they told us various things that were completely not true. So, you know, everybody keeps saying, oh, we're talking to you, we're talking to you, we're talking to you, but we never get any concrete information or commitments that mean anything.
So I think that's a fair question. Just real quick, I think that, you know, there are three things to look at. There's the parties involved. So in this case, you have Superfly, which does a very similar festival in San Francisco, does other festivals, and we have written documentation from the neighbors in the parks extolling their virtues. And you can just take it as a fact. You don't. That doesn't mean you have to accept them as a promoter, but factually, they're seen as very responsive to the community. And secondly, you have ABG, which at the Rocky Mountain office, Chuck Morris has been involved with numerous, you know, whether it's the Fillmore or whether it's First Bank Center or whether they're the number one booker of Red Rocks. They've been working with the city for 40 years, and I think you can look, and it's all online, and you can see their reputation for living up to their word. And I think the last thing is what Fred talked about, which is the contract before it's signed, before it goes to Cohasset City Council for approval, will be public. And so we will agree in writing to put up a bond. We will agree in writing to put up insurance. We will agree in writing to you know, make sure we have a 24/7 in-person staffed hotline for issues. And if we don't, we'll have a contract that says you can terminate the contract. And I think, yeah, you know, to a certain extent, any deal the city does is a leap of faith that people will live up to the contract. But I think you have to make your own judgment that the parties that you're negotiating with are have a history of living up to their word. And have other cities saying that they've lived up.
So that's an assertion, and what I would request is you provide that documentation to whoever is managing this website and get it all up there.
Well, there's no contract yet, because again,
no, this information about the how you're saying we're good at for our word, we're great people, we have this great history, so whatever it is.
There's a copy from the San Francisco Parks and Recreation Department saying that up on the website.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you want more?
Do you have comments from the neighbors?
Wait a minute, hold on.
I'm just asking, do you have...
Every single comment on the website, no.
I would like to look, and yes, but let's be sure, are there any other questions that people have that haven't asked yet? And yes?
Since the mayor is only going to approve it if you have community support, I think you have to focus on what that means. Mm-hmm. Who is the community? I think you need to be honest with the people, so they know how far are you serving and what numbers will you be looking at. Because there's a community that's right across the street from it, and they'll be bombarded. Mm-hmm. And then there's the community that live miles away. So what numbers are you using, and what instrument are you going to use to measure? And without that, you know, I think until people know that, they're not going to have confidence in what you're doing. You can mitigate the golf course, you can mitigate all these other things. Excuse me. But community support, how are you measuring it? What tool are you using? And what numbers will be enough?
Look,
yeah,
I'll defer the city on that.
I mean, that's to me.
Well, I hesitate to answer only because this is sort of a Joan Mayer's question, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about this. We've had numerous meetings about how to go about to honestly measure the community input.
Yeah.
Is it the citywide? Is it localized? If it's localized, how far out?
Right.
Is, you know, how do you evaluate the survey? How do you evaluate the comments? You know, there's yeses, there's nos. There's maybe if you can satisfy these concerns. You know, it's sort of really all over the map.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't want to put Jolin sort of in a spot. I don't think he'll mind it. But how he represents it is that this is a lot like zoning. It's a lot like a lot of other decisions that the city makes.
Mm-hmm.
That there are elected officials whose job it is to evaluate the community input. And it's not a vote. You know, it's just not how it works. And so we are really going to make an honest effort. We're not going for yes. We see the benefits, we see the downsides. You know, we recognize both. I think that's true of the city, and that's true of the promoter, right? So we're really trying to honestly figure out how to measure that feeling, whatever that is, that commitment, that those opinions of the community. And there is no hard, cold, numerical value. It's not how it works in the city, unfortunately, in some cases. So, I mean, I'm talking around it, but I don't know how to answer it.
Lack of transparency looks from it like you aren't being.
But it will be transparent. The survey will be posted online.
But
the comments.
It's in a survey. It's a very broad swath. So again, what's the definition? Who did you send the survey to? Everyone in Denver? So are we all the community?
So there's a way, I don't know if you fill out the survey or not, but there are 10 different local neighborhoods that are identified, and then you can pick other.
Right.
So yes, there's a way to understand where
So in a process, what you don't have and what you need is a clear definition of what is community. And that, to me, you can't be floating around yes or no. In a process, you've got to say, right. Community will be.
Is it the 10 we've got? Okay. That should be definable.
Yes, that should be definable.
Otherwise, what it's going to look like is the city is looking to get to yes, and if they can mitigate as many of these complaints as they have,
Hank wants to.
You'll say yes. So that was my
okay.
First turning back on the process.
The city actually does have a process for doing that. Anytime you want a liquor license, you want to open up a dance club, the people right across the street have more to say about that than people that live 10 miles away. So I think you ought to check with another city department. They do look at people that live close and not so far away. So, you know, it's not going to affect me at all as far away as I live. Not this one, but in City Park it would. Yeah.
And Jay, you had a question on process?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to keep it.
I'm curious. Has the legal department worked in an opinion? And if not, why would they be reluctant to give a legal opinion on the event?
I don't think so. I said it a little wrong. They're reluctant on giving legal opinions, period.
Why?
Because it's a lot of work. It is, and I shouldn't say that. I don't know exactly why. I know that we have asked for legal opinions on a number of different things, and they won't issue a legal, I mean, they're 10, 15 page documents when we have gotten one, right? So, I mean, I've made a note. I'll ask the attorneys what kind of document would they be willing to generate in expressing an opinion on this event. I mean, I'll ask the question, but I certainly have no...
As a follow-up, does legal attorneys have the option not to give a legal opinion if they've been asked to do it? Can they just not do it? If the city asks them to do it? The city hires the attorneys.
Well, who's,
if they're asked
who's
to do
well,
it,
I think that,
wouldn't
sorry,
they have
as,
them do it?
As a former lawyer, just to throw it out there, there's two different things. There's an opinion, meaning as a staff member, the city can ask the city attorney's office, is this legal, can we do this? And they can say, yes, we've done the research, you can. Now, a legal opinion in writing is one of the few ways lawyers can get sued because they're putting in writing a specific mm-hmm. statement about the law. And so I think the distinction is, the city is very willing to offer a opinion that this is fine to do, they've done the research, but to put that into a writing then gives them, and this is true for private attorneys as well, it just gives them a level of risk that makes them hesitant to do so. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, but they can give enough guidance for the city to feel comfortable taking action short of a written opinion.
As a taxpayer, that would make me feel very uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, I don't want to look. I can't answer for the city attorney's office.
No, nobody can.
I will pose the question to them.
Okay, so let's go moving on. We only have 5 minutes. George, you've got a question for process.
Yes. You and I were on the SEEP committee in 2012. Okay. And at that time, the city had 350 events on the books. Okay, and remember at that very first meeting, I asked you personally, because the city said then they had 600 on the books, and I asked, was the city going to glean any of these events over the 350? And you said no. Correct? Yes. So I guess what I'm saying here is the venues in the city are all taken up, and the only places left are the golf courses.
So, okay, that's a statement.
Can I ask something, please? This is a process. And the process has to do with, and I understand that the setup time will be somewhere like, was it 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
The total rental, the 6 week period is incorrect. That's been thrown out a lot. The total rental period that we are contracting for is 5 weeks.
Okay, so that would be what, 2.5 weeks? Two and a half weeks?
I guess it depends on what you're talking about. We've talked about keeping 9 holes open, and so it would be about 2 weeks,
okay.
2.5 weeks build out.
So my process question then has to do with, exit and entrance to the affected area while you have basically construction going on? And how do you intend to manage that kind of the process that goes on with that? You know, will they have entrance tags, or are you going to limit the amount of trucks that can come through? And that's what I think are questions.
The process, again, issue response, the response in the course of the process is we will have to deliver a traffic plan prior to signing the contract that the city signs off on. The city has a significant amount of expertise in event traffic plans, we do as well. And so it'll be an iterative process, a literal plan to, so the issues you raised plus 100 other issues, how, you know, what are the hours that are acceptable for trucks to come in, etc. All that will be addressed in writing and will be delivered before the contract.
Is there some sort of process to help those people who are living around in there who may have some health concerns and some, you know, just general...
Absolutely.
That can mitigate that? For instance, put them in a nice place for a 3 or 4 day vacation?
The answer to that is yes. I think it came up, Helene mentioned this before, that there were 4 or 5, and maybe more, there were 4 or 5 elderly people who had, I think, oxygen issues or something like that. I didn't mention this at the meeting, but we'd be happy to engage in a discussion about whether it's hiring night nurses or it's a great point of we haven't gotten to that issue yet, but the basic answer is, are we willing to commit resources to address that issue? The answer is yes.
Katie, another process question is, I'm hoping Grace must be writing this down, yeah. But who is Fred, you, who's making, bringing all this information together, bringing all the weighing, and it's subjective, not objective, it's going to be a subjective decision, yes?
We have a whole team between parks, Office of Special Events, and Parks has a good portion because so much of it from, we have the golf community, from Scott Reflick to Colin as a part of this. We have their outreach, Parks outreach. We have Fred, we have Happy, we have our team. So there's a group of us that are continually meeting on this and weighing those pieces out and tracking them. So I'm not writing so that I can absorb this, and Grace is, as our outreach expert, she's really helping to form this along with Parks Outreach, along with Happy and myself. So this is a massive unsiloed process. And that's the nature of our agency, is that we wanted to make sure when these things happen, we're bringing everybody in. And it's not just one agency making a decision to do this without consulting or working with other agencies.
Yes, Helen?
I guess I just have a process question. So we're not quite sure how we're gonna weigh everything, but we're getting everybody in there and they're gonna work on it, and that's good, that's comforting. But I did wanna say, in terms of process, according to the timeline that I have through the Colorado Open Records, the contract stuff's kind of gonna be wrapped up by March 30th to bring to council by the first week in May.
Has that changed? I haven't seen the contract. We've never seen a contract. Basic terms.
Okay.
Oh, so we may agree on the economic terms, the rent, things like that,
right.
The 30th.
But that was the timeline that you were shooting for. So has that timeline then been postponed a little bit? Or
I would say it's certainly flexible based on you know, this process.
Okay, because I have something here. It talks about you know, how the neighborhood will be evaluated and such like that. So, as I said, mayor is on board as long as neighborhood approves. And then council member Clark is on board and will assist in planning the necessary outreach to obtain resident support, along with CRL, the event, and the RNO chairs. Outreach to the affected neighborhood will happen through November and December. Preliminary contract conversations will occur prior to outreach, starting to determine whether the overarching terms will be workable. So I just want to be clear that in terms of process, a lot of the contractual discussions actually have gone on before the
So the terms, we for example, we said, and again, we have ranges. What we wanted to do is, if the rent you're asking for the golf course is $10 million, we can't do it. So we had discussions to narrow down into a workable band some of the key terms.
So basic terms.
Yeah.
So that if the community said yes, then we can start moving. If the community said no, then, but we had to have, because that effort was so massive, we had to parallel that process, so as not to waste any time.
Right, because
so
if you're under
contract. We hear feedback at the end of September or March, then, I mean, the contract process is a 6-week process, so that hasn't even begun.
It's, no, and to be clear, it was to not waste your time.
Right.
Is really the thing. We wanted to make sure that, you know, we sort of had a general understanding and were, you know, eye to eye saying, yeah, these financial terms are okay. And frankly, some of the concern terms, you know, the parking, a lot of the, hey, you got to commit to restoring the golf course. Some of the real fundamental things we wanted to make sure we were on the same page with before we went and spent all of your time even looking at it, because we could have easily said, no, forget this. We're not going to do this.
Just from a credibility issue, that sounds remarkably like the statement that Happy Haynes made to the Denver Post after the 420 thing was permitted for Cheeseman Park process.
No,
because
absolutely.
It looks like a whole. Oh, you're not aware.
No, these are very different.
I would like
these
to.
These are very, very different like situations.
Well, in like terms of paralleling and saying that you're, you know, we had to do some work before we could involve the neighborhood. It sounds very similar.
Okay. Well, can I piggyback on what you're saying? Mm-hmm. In our park platform that was adopted by all of the delegates. One of the things that we ask for and have never been able to get is one of the statements we say for any new proposed use of a park, which this is a brand new use of this park, it should be supported or must be supported by a sophisticated and publicly available cost analysis, and we don't have that. I think that should be in the process. We need to publicly see a cost analysis of what it's going to cost. And what are the, you know, just a cost analysis.
I'm sorry, just to make it clear, in terms of cost, I don't think it costs anything for the city.
Well, a cost analysis, what they are saying is, we're going to get this, 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 and this for the non-use of this, for the disruption of the community, for the this, the this.
Okay.
And so in my mind, a cost analysis is important.
So cost revenue. I mean, I just want to make clear that, for example, you know, we're gonna pay for everything, including police. I mean, all those things you see up there, but you're right.
But there's other
yes.
costs. There's costs to, you know, transportation. There's just costs besides that.
Mm-hmm. Extra police.
Well, and they're gonna, even if you pay for it, I'm just saying there's other costs. Mm-hmm. And I think that cost analysis are really important. We've had other events in Denver, and I will bring up that race around downtown that was supposed
to
be
the
Grand Prix that was supposed to be so wonderful for our city, and we were going to benefit so much, and we were going to get so much money, and in fact we didn't, and it cost us a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So a cost analysis, whatever that may be, you are the financial person, you know what a cost analysis
mm-hmm.
is, but I think we need something like that in a process, and early on, you know, there's these things being thrown out, but what if you don't get as many people attending as you want? What is our cost? You know, your time right now should be in a cost analysis.
A cost benefit analysis.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cost benefit. I was thinking of that too, when I thought of the total cost.
Absolutely.
Of your time, your money, your hours and hours meeting with everybody and everybody and everybody. And I was hoping that part of your process will include comparison with if and when, I would say when, Denver finally gets a festival park which handles these big things, and you don't need to go through this every single time. And I really think that that needs to be in the picture, because it is actually the answer to
Absolutely.
Most of these problems. And I think it deserves a much higher place in your consideration than just sort of saying, well, I guess we don't have one, or maybe we'll get one someday or something.
Yeah,
it
we'll
really needs to be on an agenda for construction, ready in a couple of years if you can, and all of these big items that come along are taken care of there. And you can give your time and your interests and your all your education and your thinking and wonderful ideas to the rest of the parks that are already here and are getting more crowded by the moment. So if that's all right,
yeah.
I wanted to
yeah.
say that because I think
Thank
it's
you.
Really important.
Thank you. We have got to stop. I know you. I'm going to give Helen the last question if you have another question, and I don't know if you do or not.
Well, I have so many questions, and I get cut off. You know, Grace does this to me after 2 minutes, so and she has to.
Everyone
I understand.
Had 3 minutes.
Exactly. No, that's what I mean. We all got cut off except for
yeah.
Happy Hayes. But I guess so my question would be, I have some things. You were looking at the Lowry Lawn thing too.
So, you raised that before.
Yeah.
I think basically, when the organizers came to town, I showed them the Lowry Lawn, and
mm-hmm.
they said, "This is not going to work for us." So I don't think there was much more than that.
Oh, I was just curious why. Yeah.
But why it didn't work? We could ask them. I think
because in the Office of Special Events Analysis, there were pros and cons,
okay.
and the cons were much heavier for Overland, and so I just was curious why they all did that. But that's okay.
Maybe that's a question for them. Then.
Yeah, maybe that is a
question. I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, there was an analysis done by your office, I believe, pros and cons for Lowry versus Overland, and there were quite a lot of cons for Overland and not very many for Lowry, so I guess I was just wondering why that was the final choice.
And that would be a good thing to be
documented on your website.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, first, not knowing the document you're talking about, it's hard for me to speak to it, but also perhaps it was not a complete document, and maybe the document that you found is something that was in process. So I can't speak to the validity of that, but I also know that the event organizers, they're coming in saying, we want to do this. They went and visited locations all over the city and said, this will work, won't work, will. So they were the ones who had to tell us if this space would work or this space wouldn't. So we would have our own personal city pros and cons, but it was still the event organizers saying, they looked at it and said, this is not going to work for us. Even if we internally were saying, Lowry would be this, and this, and this for us, the event organizer said it's not going to work there.
So that's part of the process. So in the future, that's, again, it's transparency. In the future, you need to be writing down a policy and say, the event coordinator will select where this event's going to be. I mean, that's what I'm hearing you say. Is that what people are hearing?
That's what I'm hearing.
There were mutual concerns about Lowry. You know, they ultimately came to us and said, it's not going to work, but we had some very serious concerns about Lowry as well. We could go down a road that I don't think you want to go down.
And we don't have time. But what I'm saying is there is not a process. And I am really concerned as INC Parks and Rec Committee that we have this new event, and it sometimes feels, and we've done other events, but this looks like it's by the seat of the pants in some ways. You know, it's sort of like what we're doing.
Can I make one other comment on process, too? And
sure,
this goes
go ahead.
Transparency and documentation. A whole lot of us who live in Northeast Denver had meetings last year with the city and in various people's homes and other places. And I documented one of them. And they told us that we send a written list of questions, and we asked a lot of questions at the meeting, and they told us that they were going to get back to us with answers to all of our questions. Not a single one of those meetings was ever responded to by the city. So I recognize that that wasn't primarily a parks issue, but in terms of your credibility on whatever you're posting and whatever information you're providing, and a number of things have been brought up here, if you say you're going to do something, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the city, I would really urge you to to document it. Just if I'm sure, post it. You know, if you guys are not that worried about how the conversation plays out, if you're not trying to steer it, then document everything, because that has not been done.
Well, in this scenario, I can say it has been. So have you been on the website and reviewed all the documents?
I haven't reviewed all of your documents.
You know what? That's a suggestion to her. I am so sorry, guys. We have to quit. I want to thank you. Thank you, David. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Grace, for setting this up.
Thank you.